sketches of unfamiliar siege engines and novel designs for apple-peeling machines. The De Quermes had been quite rich, and young Leonard had been to a great many schools where he had absorbed a ragbag of information despite his habit of staring out of the window and sketching the flight of birds. Leonard was one of those unfortunate individuals whose fate it was to be fascinated by the world, the taste, shape, and movement of it. He fascinated Lord Vetinari as well, which is why he was still alive. Some things are so perfect of their type that they are hard to destroy. One of a kind is always special. He was a model prisoner. Give him enough wood, wire, paint, and above all give him paper and pencils, and he stayed put. The patrician moved a stack of drawings and sat down. "These are good," he said. "What are they?"
"My cartoons," said Leonard.
"This is a good one of the little boy with his kite stuck in a tree," said Lord Vetinari.
"Thank you. May I make you some tea? I'm afraid I don't see many people these days, apart from the man who oils the hinges."
"I've come to..." The patrician stopped and prodded at one of the drawings. "There's a piece of yellow paper stuck to this one," he said suspiciously. He pulled at it. It came away from the drawing with a faint sucking noise, and then stuck to his fingers. On the note, in Leonard's crabby backward script, were the words, "Crow ot smees sit omem."
"Oh, I'm rather pleased with that," said Leonard. "I call it my handy note-scribbling piece of paper with glue that comes unstuck when you want."
The patrician played with it for a while.
"What's the glue made of?"
"Boiled slugs."
The patrician pulled the paper off one hand. It stuck to his other hand.
"Is that what you came to see me about?" said Leonard.
"No, I came to talk to you," said Lord Vetinari, "about the gun."
"Oh, dear, I'm very sorry."
"I'm afraid it has escaped."
"My goodness, I thought you said you'd done away with it."
"I gave it to the assassins to destroy. After all, they pride themselves on the artistic quality of their work. They should be horrified at the idea of anyone having that sort of power. But the damn fools did not destroy it. They thought they could lock it away. And now they've lost it."
"They didn't destroy it?"
"Apparently not, the fools."
"And nor did you? I wonder why."
I don't know."
"I should never have made it. It was merely an application of principles. Ballistics, you know, simple aerodynamics. Chemical power, some rather good alloying, although I say it myself, and I'm rather proud of the rifling idea. I had to make a quite complicated tool for that, you know. Milk? Sugar?"
"No, thank you."
"People are searching for it, I trust?"
"The assassins are, but they won't find it. They don't think the right way."
The patrician picked up a pile of sketches of the human skeleton. They were extremely good.
"Oh, dear."
"So I am relying on the watch."
"This would be the Captain Vimes you have spoken of?"
Lord Vetinari always enjoyed his occasional conversations with Leonard. The man always referred to the city as if it was another world.
"Yes."
"I hope you have impressed upon him the importance of the task."
"In a way, I've absolutely forbidden him to undertake it. Twice."
Leonard nodded.
"Ah, I think I understand. I hope it works."
He sighed.
"I suppose I should have dismantled it, but it was so clearly a made thing. I had this strange fancy I was merely assembling something that already existed. Sometimes I wonder where I got the whole idea. It seemed, I don't know, sacrilege, I suppose, to dismantle it. It'd be like dismantling a person. Biscuit?"
"Dismantling a person is sometimes necessary," said Lord Vetinari.
"This, of course, is a point of view," said Leonard De Querm politely.
"You mentioned sacrilege," said Lord Vetinari. "Normally that involves gods of some sort, does it not?"
"Did I use the word? I can't imagine there is a god of gons."
"It is quite hard, yes."
The patrician shifted uneasily, reached down behind him, and pulled out an object.
"What," he said, "is this?"